Hello and welcome to the Her Sports Show. I'm your host, Jessica Gardner. On today's episode, myself and my colleague Deb will be discussing the top July sports stories. Let's get into it. So, we're going to kick off with the local news. Team Ireland's athletes gave incredible performances at the European Games and walked away with 13 medals across five events. Ireland saw three female boxers secure their places in the Olympics: Kelly Harrington, Aoife O'Rourke, and Michaela Walsh. In athletics, Sarah Lavin has secured her qualification for the Paris Olympics after her remarkable performance at the Stockholm Diamond League. She clocked a personal best of 12.73 in the 100-meter hurdles, and she ran on a wet track, which I think is quite...
very impressive.
Yeah, amazing. I remember also watching in the interview after the race, she said that she had spent like an hour drying herself off in the bathroom before she went out and ran. So that was actually quite crazy that she was able to do that. So well done to you, Sarah.
Good job, Sarah.
In paraathletics, Team Ireland is currently competing at the World Paraathletics Championships in Paris. Greta Strymichaiter took off in the T13 1500-meter final on Monday morning, and she finished in fourth place with a time of 4 minutes 33 seconds, setting a new European record, and she has secured a slot for Ireland at the Paris 2024 Paralympics. Adding on that is Orla Comerford, who was in the studio last week with us, and she placed fourth in the T13 100-meter sprints final, and she just missed out on bronze, but she has also secured a spot for Team Ireland for the Paris 2024 Paralympics, which is really cool.
Your interview with her was really fun as well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I think it's also cool now to see that she came in just before she left. Mm. And so also just sharing like her story and her experiences and everything. And obviously her goals of wanting to secure that place for the Paralympics. And now that she's actually been able to tick that box, mm-hmm. it's quite cool because she just shared that with us. And now she actually went on. And
even the fact that she explained the athletic T codes.
Yeah.
Like, even just understanding what Greta had to go through, even though, like, we haven't spoken to Greta yet. It's like, this is so impressive.
It really is. In other news as well, Katie Taylor and Chantal Cameron's rematch has been set for the 25th of November at the 3 Arena.
Which weight class is she going to be boxing in?
Cameron will aim to defend her super lightweight titles, and Taylor, who also recently turned 37, is aiming to become a two-weight world champion. So that's going to be an interesting one.
Mm. How do you think it will go?
I mean, we'll have to see. I feel like Katie's going to come with a lot more... I wouldn't want to say a lot more fire, because I think she did give her best in the first match. But I think she's got like a lot more to prove now. It's going to be the second fight that she's doing on home soil. True. And I'm sure she doesn't want to disappoint the fans. Even though I think she's done so much for the country already, so...
Yeah, like, obviously the fans aren't exactly disappointed. Like, they're still very proud of her. I think it will be interesting as well, because now she knows what Chantal can bring to the table and how she fights. So it's always interesting seeing the second round of two boxers fight again, when it's like, oh, you know this person now. Mm. Like, you know what they did. They can re-watch their fight again. And also Chantal, like, could she cause more damage to Katie? Mm. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. And even just on that as well, like, will they be switching up, like, coming with new strategies, both of them? That would be quite cool to see. Because I know Chantal was also known for just having that stamina of just throwing punches, whereas Katie's punches were a lot more accurate.
True.
But again, Chantal's punches just wore out, it seems like it.
It's also going to be interesting because Katie would probably be more comfortable in that weight class now. So obviously she had to go up a weight class. Yeah. So this time around, it's like you would be sitting in that weight for longer too. Mm. So maybe she wouldn't be as tired out and as tuckered out. It's going to be fun. But also Chantal put on such an amazing war against Katie.
100%.
And I feel like even through that, she still hasn't gotten that much credit. Mm. So... like, fair play to both fighters for actually putting it on again.
Yeah. So I think they'll be announcing when tickets will be going on sale next month. So that's something to definitely keep your eyes and ears
I'm excited.
Out for. Then in golf, Leona Maguire and Anya Donegan finished strong at the US Women's Open at Pebble Beach on Sunday. But this was an interesting one for Anya, as she made her first major championship debut and she narrowly missed out on ending as a top amateur. She also had to replace her golf clubs last minute because they broke during the flight to the tournament, which she shared on Twitter as well with a picture of a driver that had completely broken. So luckily she was able to get a new set of clubs, which she had to compete with. And on the last day, she was also struggling with an illness. She was, seemed like she had a bit of a cold or something. But the fact that she still managed to finish relatively strong, she ended 2 points behind Leona Maguire. For 21-year-old, that's pretty impressive as well.
Yeah, playing on the big stage and all.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, she's hoping to get an invite to the Irish Open, which will be taking place in August. So we'll see if she makes another appearance there. But from what it seems like, she's definitely an up-and-coming golf star.
Mm.
So that would be cool to keep an eye out for her as well. Then with Camogie and Gaelic football. So Cork beat the defending Kilkenny champs in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. And this will be the first time that Kilkenny will be missing out on the semi-final since 2012. So that was a very big one for Cork, definitely. Yesterday, Kilkenny Camogie also announced that the manager, Brian Dowling, who led the team to All-Ireland titles in 2020 and 2022, has stepped down. So far, reason hasn't really been given, but yeah, so he won't be part of the team anymore. And then also, the United for Equality protests have continued, and they seem like they will be continuing for the foreseeable future. Mm. So that's also definitely a hot topic there. What are your thoughts on that protest?
It's a pity to see what's happening right now. Mm. And a lot of discussion seems to be around being in solidarity with them, but not actually speaking up for the women or on behalf of the women. A news story broke out like an hour ago that the men's teams actually wanted to put up a banner in solidarity with the United for Equality slogan for their team photos before the game started, and they were actually prevented from doing so. So it's a bit of a pity to see that even the men that are trying to speak up on behalf of their female counterparts are actually not allowed to and are being stopped. So again, it puts up the question, like, why is it happening to female athletes?
Yeah.
This is the name of the game, unfortunately. This is 2023, but these things are still happening. Mm. So,
moving on to international news. In tennis, we have the Wimbledon. So, interestingly enough, female tennis stars welcomed Wimbledon's new undergarment rule change for female players, which allowed them to wear any color of shorts under their tennis skirts. Which was quite a big thing, because I was also researching, and Wimbledon has like prided themselves on the fact that they've had this like crisp white aesthetic look.
Mm.
So this coming in was quite a big thing. And I think also for all the female tennis players, a lot of them were saying they had so much anxiety over periods when it comes to playing professionally. I know a few players also mentioned that they had also had to go on the pill just because they were trying to avoid being on their period during the Wimbledon. So this was really a big victory for the tennis stars. But interestingly enough, this news came after the Wimbledon poster controversy. So Wimbledon, just before the tournament started, they released this poster. Very nice artwork. I will give it credit for that. Like, I thought it was like pretty good artwork. But the crazy thing was that the placement of the tennis stars was just, it was really bizarre. And Andy Murray was very vocal on this, not because he wasn't on it, which was already a surprise, because, I mean, everyone knows Andy Murray is like one of the biggest tennis icons, but more so the fact because he was saying how notable female stars, such as the Williams sisters, they were positioned at the back of the poster.
And the far back as well.
The far back. You literally have to squint to sort of make out where it is. Yeah, so for those who don't know, the poster was basically meant to represent like past stars and the upcoming tennis stars. Mm. But again, yeah, the placement was just weird. And then even like Naomi Osaka, I'm not too sure why she didn't feature on there. But then we also have Carlos Alcaraz and Yannick Sinner, who are also themselves rising stars, but none of them have won a Wimbledon title. They were at the forefront of the poster, which was also a lot of people were questioning, why is it that these two are great tennis players, like give it to them, but they haven't actually won a Wimbledon title. Why would they be at the forefront of a Wimbledon poster?
That's an interesting one. I did see the poster and I did take a look at the comment section on that. And I think something that a lot of people were asking is, when it comes to the creative department, this design would have gone through many, many rounds.
100%.
A lot of people would have had to approve on this. Yeah. And this is also Wimbledon we're talking about as well. The fact that, obviously, we don't know if someone posed the question, even if they did, the fact that no action was taken on it.
Yeah.
Put one star in front, you know, just like, again, as you said, with Carlos and Yannick, they still haven't won a Wimbledon yet. Mm. Fair play for putting the new talent at the forefront. I do think that's very interesting, but there is quite a lot of new talent coming in the female scene as well.
Yeah.
So it kind of reflects a little bit on the behind the scenes of a company as big as Wimbledon. Of course, there's athletes, but very often we don't talk about women in sports media as well. Mm. And clearly, it might show that things aren't as equal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very interesting. Again, the Williams sisters are probably, like, you don't even need to be a tennis fan to know about them. They are international, Serena especially. The fact that both of them are literally the second row from the back.
Yeah.
Far corner is a real pity, in my opinion.
And again, yeah, just, it boggled my mind also just the timing of everything. Because, I mean, that poster came out and it was blowing up on socials.
Yeah.
And then a couple of days later, Wimbledon, they announced again, reminding almost the public about this.
Exactly.
The undergarment rule change.
Is it a tick the box kind of thing? You know? Let's cater to them to keep them quiet.
Mm.
Who knows? Again, not complaining about the decision. Good. Mm. There is change and it's positive change.
Definitely.
But again, it seems to be the case that women's issues are tackled one by one.
Yeah.
And it's not fast enough. Like, we can't keep waiting like year on year for one thing to change at a time.
Yeah. And then also with the Wimbledon, we saw Coco and Venus make a very quick exit from the Wimbledon. They were out in the first round, which obviously was a big shock. And even Venus, I mean, she's 43 now. And she, I know she went down within the first 5 minutes of her match because of a knee injury.
Okay.
But it was literally a few weeks ago, she actually played another match against Camilla Giorgi. And she ended up playing for 3 hours, 17 minutes with a strapped knee. So, I mean, the fact that she still went on and played at the Wimbledon is actually quite great. But yeah, so that was quite a shocker, I think, for a lot of people who expected them to go a lot further. But then also, like you mentioned as well, there has been a lot of upcoming talent, especially with female tennis stars. So Russia's Mira Andreeva made it to the round of final 16, and she herself is 16. She's the youngest player at the tournament for both the men and the women's events. And she was also playing on grass for the first time in her tennis career. And her tennis career is also, I mean, she's still so young, so this was big for her as well. She lost against Madison Keys, though, and she had received two penalties for throwing her racket, and she didn't shake the hand of the umpire after the match. And I actually just saw this morning, like a couple of hours ago, she was fined $8,000 for unsporting behavior. So that is a bit of a tough one for her. I think also because she's so young, it's a difficult one. But that doesn't take away from her talent. I mean,
no.
The fact that she made it so far, and even the match against Madison Keys, she was dominating, and then she got her first penalty. And then the second penalty happened, which was also a bit of an interesting one, because if you go and you actually watch the clip, she did slip, but then as she was trying to recover, she seemed to let go of her racket. So did she slip? Did she throw her racket?
Yeah. Quite an interesting debate.
Mm.
It seems to be, again, I wouldn't even qualify myself as a casual fan of tennis, nearly.
No, same.
But for both men's and women's, it's the issue with the umpire and the decisions that they're making is quite a hot topic.
Mm.
So I don't think it is an exclusively women's issue where, oh, this 16-year-old might have shown a little bit of attitude and got in trouble for it. I think in general, there are a lot of men that are getting in trouble with the umpire recently. I did watch the clip. I understand the debate. Like, she did slip.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
She kind of, for those that are listening and are not watching the clip that's overlaid right now, she kind of like windmilled her dominant arm that had the tennis racket over her head and released the tennis racket a little bit more aggressively. Let's put it that way. It was one movement.
Yeah.
But I understand probably if the umpires are pressured to kind of penalize said behaviors or said emotions, I do get why maybe they might have come to the decision that throw of the racket was unnecessary. I do think that she got frustrated from slipping and gave it a little bit of extra force, in my opinion anyways.
Okay.
Like, the racket did keep rolling. So clearly she didn't just let it go to save herself. Her hands never touched the floor, actually, you know? So, like, she stayed on her feet, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't let go of the racket to save her fall.
Mm.
So, I am team. The rules are the rules. And if you have to pay the fine, you have to pay the fine. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But, again, I'm a very casual tennis fan.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's the name of the game.
Do you think that she should have been fined? Like, do you think it was a throw?
Also, watching the clip, I do, like, I think you can definitely see she slipped. Like, her ankle rolled.
Yes.
It was a slip. But again, like you said, that windmill motion, like, maybe she could have kept, like, her hand around that racket and...
I think she could have let go of the racket.
Yeah.
It's just, there was a flick of the wrist, you know?
And I think also her reaction afterwards, sort of like just her whole emotion, it looked a bit like, okay, she's clearly frustrated.
Yes.
But now again, is she frustrated because she might have looked like she threw her racket? Or is she frustrated because she slipped?
Yeah.
It's again that thing. Again. But I think, like you said, like...
Look, we've all been there as athletes where things aren't going your way and you are very frustrated. Again, having an umpire constantly monitor you doesn't help.
Yeah.
And being in the heat of the moment, you understand it's not like she was swearing. She didn't pull a tantrum or anything like that. So her frustration towards the umpire is very valid. Very valid.
Mm.
But I think looking at slow motion kind of thing, like, you do get why they might have come to the decision that she did. Like, that toss was unnecessary.
Yeah. I still do think, though, she needs to give herself credit. I mean, she made it far.
Yes.
She's 16. She's just starting out in her career. So I think she's got a long way to go. But I think she's definitely made her mark in the tennis world now. So we'll just see what happens with her going forward.
Hopefully this doesn't slow her down.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the thing as well. Okay, moving on to athletics. So, big thing happened yesterday, where the European Court of Human Rights ruled in favor of two-time Olympic 800-meter champion Caster Semenya over the rules governing testosterone levels in female athletes in competitions. So, for those who don't know, Semenya has hyperandrogenism, so genetically she has a higher level of testosterone, and she was banned from international competitions in the female category between the 400 meter to the mile by World Athletics in 2019. But it's sort of been she's sort of been debating with a lot of international competitions about whether or not she could race, probably since about like 2017, even before that. Okay. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So it's been an ongoing battle. But because of this, she couldn't run at the Tokyo Olympics. She wasn't allowed to. So obviously we'll see what happens with the court case, but the final decision by the European Court of Human Rights could force sport's highest court that had originally rejected Semenya's appeals to re-examine regulations athletes with DSD are forced to comply with. So this will be definitely be a very interesting case to follow, I think. Because again, World Athletics, they make a lot of the rules for these international competitions. So we'll see what happens with this. But I think it's nice for Semenya, who she's been struggling with this for a while. And it's been an ongoing battle. So I think we'll see whether or not she'll actually be able to run at Paris. I think that's also a big question at the moment. Will she be able to qualify? But again, it all depends on this court case that is ongoing. So,
okay.
And then obviously the most trending topic at the moment, the FIFA Women's World Cup.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, dun, 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 indeed. Because, I mean, these past 2 weeks we've seen how many teams are having issues with their federations. So, shall I just take us through?
Yeah, give us a roundup.
Okay, we'll try to give a little roundup into this. So, we did share a video of this on our Instagram and our TikTok. Please do follow us. But it gave a nice little summary. But basically, these are the following teams who have been in ongoing disputes with their federations. So Canada, they're having financial issues and their federation is basically on the verge of bankruptcy, which I think is that's obviously quite a scary thing for any company. So the fact that it's now public knowledge as well is quite a tough one. Spain has had issues with their federation since last year over the coaching. And this resulted in 15 players saying that they did not wish to be called up for the World Cup. So they are heading into the World Cup without many of their established stars. Nigeria head coach Randy Waldrum revealed that he doesn't believe his team is ready for the World Cup due to a lack of support from the federation. So basically, in a nutshell, what's been happening with Nigeria is that their federation basically cancelled their pre-training camp. They banned their backup goalkeeper from going to the World Cup after she protested against unpaid wages. And then when their coach refused to replace the keeper, then the federation retaliated and banned the assistant coach, Lauren Gregg, from going with the team.
Oh, my God.
So they've been going through a lot of issues there. South Africa. So South Africa's Football Federation threatened to send an entire new team to the World Cup due to players boycotting a friendly against Botswana after the federation refused to pay the team. The federation received a lot of backlash, but another independent foundation in South Africa stepped forward and they pledged the money to the players. So the players did board the plane and they are currently in Australia. England also, their football federation, refused to pay additional bonuses on top of the FIFA payments because they said that they could lose money due to tournament costs. And then Jamaica had to set up a crowdfunding page to cover accommodation and meal costs for the tournament. But they've also been having issues over money with their federation for many years. And I know Bob Marley's daughter also has been funding their national team for quite a while. She's been sponsoring for a good couple of years. So
that's lovely to hear.
Yeah, so it's
lovely. I'm not that private people or private companies have to step forward and independently fund nearly everything.
Yeah.
These are basic things like meal costs you're talking about.
Yeah.
And travel. It's so sad.
It really is. And again, would this be happening right before a men's World Cup? I think also the crazy thing is it's like a lot of the issues with these teams really became known like within the past 2 weeks. I mean, the World Cup starts next week Thursday. Like,
yeah, that is true. I think it's interesting if you look at the situation and then take a step back. Probably a lot of people are asking like, oh, why is it happening now? Why is there always a problem? I do think that it would be a situation where these things have been ongoing.
Mm.
The flags would have been raised privately behind closed doors and most likely swept under the rug or said that this is being sorted to the point where, similar to the English women's team, like, I feel like they only raised the flag since being in Australia. So, again, this is me assuming things, but I do think that it could be one of those things where it's like, oh, that will be sorted, you know? You have nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
And then realistically, the athletes and the coaching staff would have had something to worry about, and going public is now their only solution.
Yeah.
And they can only go public in this short space of time. It's going to sound bad, but it's nearly like a desperate act.
Mm.
From their end, but it's not a bad reflection on them.
Yeah.
It's like their back is against the wall and they don't know what to do anymore.
Mm, exactly, yeah. And I think even like what's happening with most of these teams, England, I know, South Africa, Nigeria, the fact that their federations also don't want to pay them, and a lot of their justifications from the research I've done, their justifications are almost because FIFA already said they'd be paying these teams money. So it's almost as if to say, FIFA's already giving you something. We don't need to give you anything.
Mm.
But I almost feel like as
like
a federation, a national federation, I don't see how you wouldn't want to step up and actually be backing your team, be showing support for your team through giving them something financially, because they're going to be representing the country. And the fact that they're not even willing to step up and actually support them in that sense, it's...
Yeah. The main discussion point is that this is predicted to be the biggest Women's World Cup yet. Mm. And I do think it is a missed opportunity from the country's federations if they don't show that initiative and that support. It would be amazing to say that probably as a country, you know, like we were there to support the women from... Not even the start, because obviously plenty of boats have been missed, but the wave is here, ride it.
Yeah.
And the refusal to ride it is an honest reflection on these things.
Mm.
Now, it's also interesting as well, because we're not talking about the Premier League or the Champions League or anything like that. This is the World Cup, so everyone is representing their country at the end of it. So I don't see why at least the treatment is not equal.
Yeah.
Of course, like the prize money I know for the World Cup is not equal to the men's, but they are on road to getting...
Yeah, FIFA's like, they said that
there is a goal in place. The aim is there. The target is there. And fair enough, we understand that these things take time, but show a little bit of improvement. It's a sign of the times.
Mm.
Again, I do think that there are a lot of negative stories right now, but that is probably just the way social media has moved.
Yeah.
But I still think that the World Cup is going to be super exciting and really fun to watch, not just for all the new teams that are going to be there, Ireland obviously included, and we're very excited to watch them play, but it's also going to be fun to see the improvement in football.
Yeah. I think even like these past two games that Ireland also played, the international friendlies, like even just being there and like seeing the fans, these little girls like looking up to the players and, you could literally just see them thinking like, oh my gosh, like I can do that. That could be me.
Fully.
Abby Larkin as well, I remember chatting to her and her, like she was also sharing how like growing up, she was looking at Katie, she was looking at Denise, and now the fact that she's actually playing with them. Mm. And she said also the fact that she can now think like, oh my gosh, like I've made it. Like that little girl who had all these dreams and like ambitions, like she actually made it there. And it is possible. So yeah, I think it's going to be a really great, great World Cup. And just in light of also all the news that's been going on and stuff, like as sad as it is as well, part of me is also like super, I don't want to say excited necessarily, but like I think for the next World Cup, it's going to be very interesting to see what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there is a movement happening. Like you said, there's this wave. And yeah, I really do believe like there's going to be major changes. There's in women's sport, not just women's football, women's sport. And I think it's an exciting space to be in at the moment. Still a long way to go. Still a lot of battles that need to be fought. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be good.
It's kind of as if everyone is holding their breath until the first whistle is blown.
That's true.
That's how I feel anyways. Yeah. A lot of content, we're putting out a lot of content on the Her Football page. So... Mm. Everyone who's listening or watching, we created a new Instagram page and a lot of football content is going out there. So we are working quite heavily on it. Like we've got an entire team working on it. So yeah, exciting stuff.
Okay, just in local news, Ireland is currently hosting the Softball World Cup in Balbriggan. And Ireland's women's team beat Botswana yesterday in the last game of the day, and they are currently playing Australia today. The tournament will run until Saturday, so definitely if you are free and if you are interested, you could go support the team there.
First time Ireland is hosting as well, so
yeah. It's a big one. And then also the European Athletics Under 23 Championships will also be starting tomorrow. And it will run until the 16th of July. So that's also something to look out for. Quite a few athletes are going to be there for Team Ireland. And yeah, again, I think under 23 is a very cool age group because you've got all your up-and-coming stars who are competing there.
Yeah.
I think it builds up a nice excitement for, like, you know, those are the people we got to keep our eyes out for. And I think, yeah, these are the hungry ones. These are the...
They're fit. They're young.
The athletes want to, like, you know, they want to make their stand. They want to show the world, like, who they are. They want their name to be known. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
They're already so talented at such a young age.
Exactly. So, I think that will definitely also be an exciting week of athletics. But other than that, we've covered everything. Exciting stuff ahead in sports.
A little bit of negative. There's a little bit of positive as well. And yeah, thank you for the news roundup, Jess.
Thanks for joining me, Deb.
You're welcome. Anything.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope to see you again for the next episode. Be sure to subscribe to Her Sports social platforms to get the latest Women in Sports content.